have always worked. They worked
That's
in
right.
Europe.
That's
and
right.
And they supported the family while they were living.
That's
work.
Right.
So, but in terms of choosing a profession, that's whether or not all professions are open to women in terms of encouragement, I'm hearing that actually it's not. And I think Lubavitch is probably as open as a Hasidic community could be.
That's
it's not everybody.
That's
so
right.
That misconception, so-called misconception, hasn't been dispelled yet.
Nope.
The Aguna issue is very nice that we're all supportive, but meanwhile nothing's happening, and I think we all know that
that's
if
right.
it were the other way around and men could be chained,
we haven't moved fast enough in Aguna.
Right, and we actually do have a halachic solution. And I'm all for breaking knees and, you know, creating widows. But
I work for the VA's office. I can't go there.
Although
I'm in another country, so.
That misconception hasn't been dispelled. The fact is you have an unusual, you're in an unusual position, and you yourself are admitting that it's unusual. So the presence of women, in other words, you're one woman in the Lubavitch community who does this, but the presence of women in decision-making roles, open, active decision-making roles, you haven't dispelled that misconception. So
not yet.
Do it for me. I want to hear you dispel that misconception.
So let me say this. Okay, one second. Let me say this. You know, this was my personal journey. I'm not here to dispel every misconception. Okay, you got it. What I have found, though, is that women are, well, you know, I'm trying to think how to say this so I won't sound patronizing and like I'm trying to follow up with what you say. I have never in this community felt like I was a second-class citizen. And I've been pretty open with you. And I don't see that with other women either. What I do find is that women themselves feel that their children and their lives and, you know, keeping a strong family is really more important than going out to work. Although now we do see women going out to get careers. There are women running agencies, Orthodox women running agencies. They prefer to go into the social service agencies, but that's what they do. That's their preference. So I really was giving a personal story more than, and maybe the title was incorrect, and I apologize, but I don't feel like I need to defend a community that I think has come a very long way in women finding their right space, but more than that, that they feel that this is what they want to do. I can tell you one thing, even though it's not something we've been talking about a long time. We've come a very far way with issues like domestic violence. There's an ongoing movement where women are really working on this. But going to work and finding a career, I think that's an individual position, and it might not be for everybody. Okay. One thing. So I'm going to get back to you, but let's get some. There was a woman at the back. I didn't hear you.
I'd like you to talk a little bit about the Lay Rebbe's attitude to women, education, a little bit about Mahatma Gandhi.
That's your question.
And also, if you wouldn't mind, if you know, talking a little bit about the educated people who are becoming Bolsheviks of Lubavitch
right.
and the impact of what they're bringing in the community and how the community
is accepting them, right. All right, I'll answer that question because it's very much with this one.
Yes, profession is important, but what's the only? Is it only power in this world, the only power which is important? Is there other values that are important also? I just want to add to your point.
And then I'll answer, I want to try and answer the question that was posed before. Yes, all together. Not being accepted. Okay. I would like to answer that as well, but let me go back to the part. You know what? So I'll make this personal again, because I think for me, that's work today. I have a daughter who just got married. She's 21 years old. My husband, we had four babies, and it will answer the rubbish, not so much for women, but it will answer the question of a little bit about education. We had four kids, and he was a Rebbe. He comes from a very similar background as I did, and he decided that he wanted to become a lawyer. He woke me up at 5 o'clock in the morning to tell me this. I hoped he'd go back to sleep. He woke up, and it was something he wanted to do. We, in our home, always, for financial reasons, for Parnassa reasons, we always wanted our children to go to college. We just felt that that was fitted our family, which is very unusual for Lubavitch. Lubavitch really, even though it's changing somewhat for the girls, for the women, it is unheard of, really, in other communities. But that was our family. My daughter, as she talks about going to college and she would like to become a psychologist, her main issue is, how do I balance, as with most moms, how do I balance a large family and working? And she says, I have to make sure that my children get the Torah type of home and that they never that I don't sacrifice my job for what my children so that my children will not benefit. So it's a hard balance. What I have been seeing is women who after the kids are a little older, now go back to school and get their degrees. I think the issue is that the concern is how will this affect a newly married couple, a young woman with many kids, how will this affect? So I think that's what that's where the issue comes up. The other part, the other question is something that I, as you heard, I have a foot in another community. I came from a home that was more traditional, and when I came here to America, the other surprising part was the distinctions between the communities. About 10 years ago, Rabin passed away 10 years ago? That's right. On a Motzei Shabbos, I remember it clearly, I had a 10-year-old. My oldest was 10 years old. And he came home from shul, and he said to me, "Mom, did you hear the news? Isn't it amazing?" I didn't know what he was talking about. And he said to me, "Mom, Rabin was murdered by a Jew. Isn't that amazing?" Obviously, this was not something he'd heard. This was obviously something he'd heard from Jew, and he'd brought home and was explaining it. Well, I was absolutely shocked. This was another Jew. Maybe I didn't agree with him, but it was definitely not the way I brought my children up. I wonder where I'm going with this, right? Well, I met with, I was part of an agency, and I met with the woman who ran it the next day, and I was devastated. All that I could think of was my reaction from my child, and that these were other communities that I grew up with. These were, I try to tell Yossi, poor kid didn't know what hit him, I sat for an hour explaining to him, I tried to explain to him that we're all one body. Well, what we decided to do was, is in New York, we felt that not enough Orthodox, Reform, Conservative women sit down and talk. We're never going to agree on religiously, and we weren't looking to change anybody, but at least that we would have an understanding that we came from the same family. And so we started a women's dialogue group that is now 10 years old, that we just now moved towards training rabbis who are now, it's about to start in a month, where the rabbis will be doing from the different organizations will be doing the same thing. So I always feel, just to answer your question, that we need to try and find a balance between getting along. Sometimes in a smaller community it's much more difficult, but let me tell you, in a large community like New York it's even more difficult. So that's an issue, and I think that's an issue that needs to be worked on.
Okay. You said you had You said you had two teenagers, and at some point you said that, and you would like them, if they saw somebody falling down, to go up and help. You also brought up the fact that your daughter, your married daughter, would like to have a career.
Mm-hmm.
If she were to have that career, obviously her husband would have to have some role,
mm-hmm.
which might be different than the role that he would have had she not had the career.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing for your sons or for your teenagers in order to prepare them for maybe having a wife such as your daughter? Is there something that is being done? Is your husband different than the average that you first met when you came to New York? Like, are there changes in that area?
Right.
Because that is really the next generation, and if that doesn't change the way I see it, nothing else changes.
Good question. Well, you know, my boys, I, by the way, have three boys and one girl. My kids are between the age of 18 and 22. My daughter went on the regular Shidduchim way, and my boys will do the same thing, if that's what they choose. I hope that, and as every parent does, that we've been a role model. My boys have grown up with a mother who works in a high-profile position, and I hope that we've taught them the respect that a woman has a right to follow any of her dreams, whatever that would be, if it is to stay home with her children, or if it is to follow a career. I hope that what we've instilled in them is enough that they will take them with them. And more important, that we've taught them the respect for women, because I think that's what we're talking about more than anything else. So I think it's a much bigger issue. Unfortunately, and I end with this, but it's a major topic. I don't know if Toronto's having these issues, although I've been here. Unfortunately, it's not only teenagers now who are going off the derech, and the parents I deal with in New York would say if that was the only issue, they'd be grateful. Unfortunately, the kids now are getting involved with drugs, gambling, all the issues that we don't, all this, obviously the things that worry every parent. I mean, you hear from people that having teenagers now is frightening. And by the way, it is happening to every single type of family. There is nobody that I found in New York is immune. So I think that you want your children to remain firm. But I think now parents of teenagers are looking at a bigger picture and hoping that the kids now not only will remain firm, but that all the issues and the trouble that's facing our teenagers out there will not be what happens to them.
It is happening.
It is happening. And that's in the, yeah, we have to end. I'm sorry, I'll be around afterwards to answer any more questions. Thank you for being a wonderful audience.
We want to say thank you to Hannah for her openness and her honesty and her ability to address many of the questions that we have. I want to remind you that there is a form, an evaluation form, and Torah in Motion would very much appreciate if you write down your comments. Also, there are CDs that are available half price, $49 for the entire conference, which is a great deal. And also, if you could think through where you want to go and get there as soon as possible so that we can be on time. Thank you.